You're very welcome back into the second hour of the programme. I want to thank Emma McGuinness, Lorraine Thompson and Nicholas Crossan once again. And thank you for messaging throughout the course of the morning. Just in relation to mobile phone usage with people of a certain age, here's a text coming in from Gary. My 12-year-old daughter is the only girl left in her classroom at national school that doesn't have a phone. She's 12. She can email her friends, if need be, to arrange play dates, etc., but now feels like she's left out from the rest who are on Snapchat, Instagram and the rest. My explanation to her was that 2 years ago you used to tell me about how these other girls were better than you at spelling tests and in class and knew answers, yet when I attended a parent-teacher meeting recently, I was told you're the most engaged, highly intelligent and always getting top results in tests while these other girls aren't. Why do you think they're not? I asked. I got a smirk because she knew it was when they were introduced to a phone. In my opinion, it is ludicrous to hand a child a phone and not expect future mental health issues. Where's the brain development process? It's up there with letting me into the controls of a Boeing 747. But imagine, though, it's a toughie because you have to be resilient there as a parent. Your 12-year-old daughter, the only one in national school without a mobile phone. Greg, no need to, with IDs or facial recognition, make social media legally liable for its content and you'll soon see it all clean up sharpish. That's impossible, though. Because firstly, if the European Union find an issue with one of the social media giants, it fines them and then it's tied up for years and years under appeal. The UK is a different system. The United States have a different system of engaging. Australia does. You know, we are at the whim of Europe, really, effectively, in terms of what action is taken against social media giants. But they're so well-resourced and there's so much money in our children that they can resist it at every turn. Here's the problem, says a listener. I was at my niece's birthday that was 11 years old. Among her class friends were girls who looked 16 and girls who looked 7, yet they were all aged 11, so false IDs easily faked. You can easily fake an ID to get booze or smokes, but the reality is the majority, and we do this to protect children. I'm not campaigning here, I'm just having a convo. We do what we can to ensure that young people don't have access to alcohol and smoking. Does that mean that some people get around that and do drink and smoke at 15? Yeah. Do the majority not? Yeah, they don't, because it's the norm, you see. So nothing's going to be perfect. And if we were striving for perfection to fix an issue, we would never achieve that and nothing would ever be addressed. My children cannot distinguish between fake news and the truth. It's getting worse and worse. The artificial intelligence now at this stage it's come on so much. I mean, there are literal full videos of politicians in circumstances that they were never in, and it is all completely generated. It's not actors or it's not just switching faces. It's completely generated. I mean, have you seen those baby videos? Personally, I don't like adults' voices being put in kids, but anyway, have you seen those baby videos where they're in the style of Donald Trump or Elon Musk or Putin? I mean, you would think a Hollywood studio spent billions making it, and it's just being done through parts of ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence servers. Greg, we're experiencing fantastic weather at the minute. Would common sense not tell the council to open the public toilets? No point in opening them in June when it's raining and there's no one on the beaches. I watched a young child yesterday have an accident because there was no open toilet, and that ended in that family leaving the beach and going home, which is really unfortunate, horrible for the young person as well. I presume the public toilets are open as not in response to the weather, but as part of contracts, I would imagine, and those contracts are going to run in the summer months. I could be wrong, but Greg, people aged between 18 to 30, their car should be governed to 80 kilometres an hour. I don't think you have to go to 80 kilometres an hour. I mean, you know, I've said it before, Aaron's car wasn't governed, but he was on a black box, and it was just to the speed limit. But it really, you know, when you're sitting in a car doing 50 in a 50 kilometre zone, you realise that, I wonder sometimes, do I go over that? Because this feels pretty slow. A caller says, I do believe children should be offline as long as possible. However, I have a problem with all these digital platforms having all your data, IDs, etc. Well, listen, they have your data anyway. Go on to Google Maps, click into timeline and pick a date in the last 8 years, and it can tell you specifically where you were for how long, unless you've gone in and disabled that, which is quite an onerous job in itself. Go into Google Maps, go into your profile, go to timeline and pick any date you like since you've had an Android phone or since you've had Google on your iPhone. And it will tell you specifically where you are, whether you walked there, drive there, got a bus there, took a boat there. Now, unless you've expressly switched that off, Google have that information. Check it out. You'll be amazed. Morning, tell Nicholas crossing that Bunkrana sign is awful looking, money wasted as usual. Another, hi Greg, 50% pass rate on driving tests. Is the driving schools of the quality needed to raise this appalling rate of failure? If it was a school exam, there'd be massive backlash. But I mean, you do your 12 tests. I just done my 12 tests. I've finished them. Maybe I'll do another two. And if I apply for my test today, as I say, I won't get an invite to book my test in the show until the end of November, and it's likely it'll be early January. And in between then and now, unless I've got a mum or dad or brother or sister sitting on with me, I'm not driving at all. You know, so that's bound to be a factor as well. We've got good driving testers. They get people through the test eventually. In relation to how we drive on our roads, this behaviour is on the road every day. In Bala Buffet this morning, I met a car doing 60 in a 40, and worse, it was on a bend. Everybody is in a rush. And in a rush going, you know where, nowhere. Commentary, driving, it's not all young people. Of course it's not, but statistically, it's most likely to be young people. And I do understand how people get quite defensive, but unfortunately, we know the rate of fatalities and serious injuries in various brackets, and it's predominantly in the 18 to 35s, not exclusively, but I understand where you're coming from. Re-driving, it's not all young people. We were driving through Letterkenny and along a busy road toward an equally busy roundabout. The woman driving the car beside us sat reading, typing on her phone the whole way along the road and driving onto the roundabout, and she was no spring chicken and really should have known better. Regarding the Garda knockdown, how is the person on the motorbike doing? Garda are rarely out patrolling on foot in speed checks. They're usually in the car. Why would anyone be standing out trying to wave someone down? Was the Garda himself at fault? Well, that guard is being buried today and leaves behind him a wife and two children and a force that is grieving. I certainly from here don't know. Now, we were talking about social media earlier on. People seem to want to open their phone and speculate as to what happened, even having never been there. I don't know the ins and outs, and I certainly wouldn't be inclined to speculate so soon after a tragedy. The motorcyclist is recovering in hospital. Right, okay, on a much lighter note, I want to know, say I'm off Monday, and I am off Monday, where should I go? Where would be a good place to go? Well, it's not for me really, because I'm from here and I've been everywhere, but I'm on about if someone was visiting the county. We want your suggestions. Where's the, in your view, the jewel in the crown, place that you cannot resist going? Things to do in Donegal, visit the fish and chip bus at Downing's Pier. Indeed, it's open. I saw it open there not so long ago. And it's a wonderful setting. There's a few wonderful settings as well. Head straight for Fanard Lighthouse via Port Salon. Get Ali Khan Port Salon. Get a kayak somewhere and go up the coast, the caves. I was in the caves at Port Salon and paddled up there. It was like being in where is nice, where coral reefs and stuff are, right? It was absolutely heaven. Just a wee paddle. And you know what? The one thing about kayaking, by the way, kayaking is a great way to get fit, and you can get into it too. There's some brilliant companies that hire it out. But anyway, this caller is not stopping for a paddle. I did. Head straight for Fanard Lighthouse via Port Salon. The scenic drive alone is breathtaking. Then a walk to Pollen Sea Arch is a must. Yep, that's beautiful as well. Although, when I was up there the last time, there were signs and I felt discouraged by the signs. What is the situation there? I don't have the... Sometimes, I certainly don't want to do anything I'm not supposed to do, but I remember going up to see the Pollen Sea Arch and it didn't seem accessible. Was that just a moment in time or is that all the time? But anyway, this caller says, walk to the Pollen Sea Arch. It's a must drive back to Port Salon and have a swim at the pier or at Ballymastocker Beach. A refreshing pint in the store bar, well, you've got me now, or coffee from Latte Love Coffee, where they serve the most tasty tray bakes. Then the narrow quarter on the way home for a delicious meal, perfect day out. Wow, that sounds heavenly. Critch Island is fab. Haven't been to Critch Island, I don't think. No distractions, loads of walks, lovely beaches, and the kids love it. Picnic and car packed heaven. Have I been to Critch Island? I don't think I have. Driving down over Mamore Gap into Urus, beautiful anytime, but stunning when the sun shines. Stunning. My brother lived here all his life. Took mates twice, 2 years in a row, took mates to Sleeve League, but in fact took them to Glencolumbkill. He believed that's where he drove past it every time and was taking them to Glencolumbkill and saying, look, this is beautiful Sleeve League. let me see. All right, keep them coming, by the way. Where would you go? What would you do? What would you recommend to someone visiting Donegal? One thing, I'm loving the meandering journeys, but I'd love to get some sort of specific things. Anne Black says Dunfanaghy, beautiful wee town. It is. Dunfanaghy is, and it's incredibly popular, like really, really popular. Fellamy says Malin Head, which he would, of course. Fellamy, you would say that, wouldn't you? Mamore, Knockalla, Atlantic Drive, magic indeed. Keep them coming into me. Best wishes to Jonathan Callahan, Adele Muldani, who are getting married today. Lots of love to you both from Kieran and Caroline. What a beautiful day to get married. Well done. Congratulations to Michael Boyce and Alice on their wedding today in St. Patrick's Church Crossroads from Gerard and Bernie and Gerard and Magella. I just got a message from my brother thanking me for hanging him out to dry. Well, sorry, Drome. I'm going to name you now. You should know the difference between Glencolumbkill and Blummin' Sleeve League. Let me see. We are going to be going to our next guest after we take the bingo numbers. Good luck if you are playing today. It's a tough old time to do business at the moment. And I think particularly in industries where there's bookings, because we've heard it from restaurants, hair salons, nail technicians, all those types of businesses whereby they have a booking system. But that can be problematic at times. Rena is owner of Signature Nails and Beauty by Rena. Hi, Rena.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Right. What's the situation with your business? And I would say any of, you know, salons or businesses similar to yours, or as I say, restaurants and what have you, will be able to relate to this. What's been your experience of late?
Yeah. So we've found recently more and more clients are either not showing up or cancelling late notice. Mm. And this really has an effect on business. Not just for the staff sitting around doing nothing, but also other clients that are desperately looking for appointments but can't get in. Like we don't work on a walk-in basis. It's all booking. So mm-hmm. if you book your slot with a technician, that's your time with her. And if you don't show up, then or cancel last minute, we can't give that appointment away to someone else.
What's your average slot time, Rena? Would it be three quarters of an hour?
It can be anything from an hour to 2 hours.
So that's a big chunk of your day potentially where you're in your business and you're not making money, yet you're incurring the costs of running a business and also letting down one of your regulars or something. I know you'd accommodate them as best as possible, but you know, you are going to be saying, I'm sorry, we're booked out today. But there you find yourself with this big gaping hole in the middle of the day.
Yes, and we do have waiting lists because I'm sure everyone that's tried to make appointments with us in the past know that we do book up weeks in advance. And if those slots aren't cancelled with good time, then we can't fill it.
Now, listen, we know, Rena, life is busy. You don't know if a kid gets a cold, something comes up, that happens, and you would understand that.
Sure.
But you obviously know enough with the trend that's happening that it's not all of that, that people are just making decisions that suit themselves or that they think, you know, oh, right, I'll do something else instead. You know, we're not talking here about where things happen in people's lives. That's understandable. You must be getting the sense people are just doing this for their own reasons at your expense.
We find that especially now, not complaining about the good weather because we can't, but especially when the weather's good, people tend to not show up. So, we do understand that life happens, and there are reasons to cancel appointments or, if you're running late, that's fine too. But I think the problem is just the lack of communication. Mm. If we book that slot for you, it's just the right thing to do to cancel it.
The obvious suggestion sort of is going down the deposit route, but you have to introduce that for everyone then. And then, of course, you've got a special relationship with your clients as well, and might be a little bit uncomfortable sort of saying, can I have a deposit? And them saying, well, I've turned up every blooming Tuesday of every month for the last 10 years. You know what I mean, really? So can you go down that route, or is that something that you do? Or if you're not going down that route, why not?
We have now started taking deposits from new clients, first time bookings. But then you do get the odd regular client that also doesn't show up for slots. Now, clients book appointments with multiple technicians on the one day. It can be up to 3 hours. And if they don't show up, then three technicians could sit with no clients.
Mm.
So... we do. We have the deposits for new clients, and we do have a cancellation fee as well. Cancellation fees can be paid then before the next appointment is either attended or booked.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And I think it's really just understanding or having a little bit of consideration. Maybe people listening to business, in relation to businesses like yours, don't realize there's a daisy chain effect to this. People aren't making money. It can be the difference between a good day and a bad day. So just to have a little bit more consideration, I think, Rena.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think so. And I think clients don't realize that it might be their appointment that they're not attending, but there are multiple clients that don't attend. Now, all we right. have the most amazing clients, and they do attend their appointments every single time. But there are the clients, from the start of April to now, has been about 5 to 10% of slots that were either late cancellations or no shows that they couldn't fill.
Yeah, that's huge. 10% at the higher end. Okay, right. Okay, well, it's good to get the message out there. So we all just think a little. Is there any nail trends at the moment? What's trending? What are people looking for, Rena? Obviously, there's the maintenance and stuff, right? But if I have a special event coming up. It's going to depend on my outfit, of course. But is there anything in vogue nail-wise at the moment that we should know about?
Yes. So the new thing out is water nails. It's just a nice nude with a high gloss.
Mm.
It's trending at the moment.
Okay. So water nails, nude. Yep. And then we'll go over the top next year, Rena. That's the way we do it. We'll go nude, low-key this year, although glam, and then next year we'll just go bright purple or something. We'll see, okay?
That's it.
Rena,
bright pink.
Thanks. Bright pink eye, perhaps better. Rena, thanks very much indeed. Owner of Signature Nails and Beauty by Rena. And Rena's not complaining. She's just like so many in that industry are saying, look, if you can't make it, try and give us a bit of notice and just consider that if you're sort of not showing or cancelling late for casual reasons, that there is big ramifications on a business. Let me see. Hi, Caroline and Greg. Could you please wish Sean Rogers from Leo's Restaurant and David from McElhinney a happy wedding day today? Have a lovely day from all the Dunleavy family in Carrickfinn and Annagrees. It's Sion Rogers. I think it is Sion and David getting married today. Have a lovely day. Gar says Remelton for fish and chips from Johnny's Ranch. A stroll down to Butch Road, followed by an ice cream sundae from Worski's. Finish off with a pint in the bridge bar, listening to the man in the hat. Okay. And you are very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Were you watching the Eurovision last night? We're going to be speaking to someone who was there at it from Donegal very, very shortly. So stay tuned for that. Ireland didn't get through. That's the thing I find really quite annoying. I thought Ireland had a real good chance of getting through, but they didn't, which is, I think, a shame. I think they should have gotten through. What do you think? 08660 25,000. Right, now, some more of your comments. Hi, Greg. Just a word about hedges. Around Ard O'Donnell, they're that far out on the footpath. Some people are stepping on the roadway. Someone is going to get hit with a vehicle soon if someone or something is not done. Can you put it out there? Thanks for sure. I also want to mention something that was lost at the hospital yesterday. And I'll just open this up. I says I would, and I want to make sure that I do. I've opened the wrong app. Okay, let me see. More of your comments coming in here while I get to that. I'm from Derry and I just love the alpacas in Donegal. It's the best day out. Yes, Fionnuala was at the alpacas and there's different alpacas around the place. Fionnuala was at the alpacas and said it was amazing. She might talk about that. Fionnuala's in with us, is she? She is, yeah, okay. Greg, listening online in Sligo, I just love Aranmore Island for a long weekend. Yes, indeed. It's great to have you on board listening to us. Thank you. And it's up there in my top three anyway. Right, so this caller says, my sister lost her purse last evening. She was in Letterkenny University Hospital visiting our brother, who's in there sick at the moment. She had it there, but misplaced it somewhere. I rang the hospital, but it wasn't handed in as she went to the toilet on her way out. Anyone find it might ring Highland. She had her bank card, medical card and some money in her purse. The bank card is frozen at the moment. So did you find a purse in Letterkenny University Hospital? Were you in the hospital and maybe you can help get that purse back to that lady in question? She was in visiting her sick brother, so you can imagine they don't need any other hassle. Let us know. 07491 25,000. 07491 25,000 is the telephone number. Dennis Sweeney, are you there?
I am indeed, Greg. Good morning.
How are you getting on, dear? Are you well?
I am indeed, yeah. A bit of a hoarse voice from last night, but all going well.
Well, I suppose we'll talk about your history with the Eurovision, but very disappointing Ireland didn't get through. They were certainly favourites to get through. I think they should have got through, Dennis.
Absolutely, yeah. It was just extreme. The atmosphere in the arena was extremely, you know, disjointed and heartbreaking for Ireland last night again.
I mean, it had everything, didn't it? It had all the razzmatazz you'd expect from a Eurovision finalist.
Totally. They threw the kitchen sink at it with all the fireworks as well.
Yeah. Why do you think it didn't get through?
I think it's a lot to do with, you know, it's all to the public now. So obviously there's a lot of Irish spread over the UK and Australia, but, you know, they just didn't vote. Years ago, you could blame the juries, but now when it's all public voting only, you can only blame yourselves for not picking up the phone and voting.
Yeah, and there were other surprises too. Australia not getting through was a surprise, and there were others.
Exactly, and a lot of the same choreography was done by the same person for both Ireland and staging for Australia and Ireland, so both of them not through is quite disappointing. But a lot of shocks as well. You've got all the Scandinavian countries and Baltic countries all in it for the first time in 10 years.
What was the mood? Not getting political, but I'm curious because we got a censored version of it. What was the atmosphere in the arena like when Israel were performing?
To be honest, this year it wasn't as bad as last year, Greg. We were in Malmo last year, there was horrific booing and, you know, applauding, drowning out the booing, but it wasn't as bad as last year.
All right, okay. So, in the rehearsals, I mentioned Australia and I mentioned Ireland. Both of them went through. You're blaming the public, are you? Do you think the love affair between the Eurovision and Ireland is over? We need French, Germans, Dutch, Spanish, Portugal all picking up the phones. That's the way it works. We can't vote for ourselves.
Well, the UK were able to vote last night and so was Australia. So you'd think about the amount of Irish that were in both them countries, Greg. You think they would have lifted up the phone and helped us?
Yeah, well, they didn't. Come here, what was the experience like? This is your 8th Eurovision. That qualifies you as a super fan.
Yeah, so this is my 8th. And obviously you'll see on, you know, my social media, Facebook, the year that Eurovision didn't take place, myself and my husband, we did a run take of all the winners that won for Eurovision just one Saturday evening in the house, being a bit bored, and then put it out live at 8 o'clock, which would have been time for the Eurovision.
So you did your own little Eurovision?
Yeah, so we're ready to add Emmy to the list of the videos, but unfortunately it's not to be.
Okay. What was the standout moment for you from last night? I mean, outside of Ireland's performance, for an example, just to give us a sense of what it's like being there.
I think, you know, the UK did very well. Them girls can sing, their harmonies, they can really, you know, bring it. They've been put on the spot with media, you know, interviewing them. And they've, you know, they were on vocal rest as well during the week, but, you know, they can sing. Obviously, you know, Finland's well up there this year as well, you know, rocking it out there. There's been nothing that they've not won since Lordi won some time ago. Greece was a big shout out as well, you know, the last country through. There was plenty of Irish fans way running around grabbing a Greece flag in the end.
And Kamir, are you there for Saturday night?
We are indeed, yeah. So we're just touring about today. The bizarre thing, we went to a party afterwards, as you do.
Yeah, of
and
course.
I actually bumped into someone from the same village as me.
Yeah, but that's not good. That's the problem, isn't it? You can't get up to any mischief because you always bump into someone that knows you no matter where
you
are.
I know when someone comes up and taps you on the shoulder and says, my mum taught you at national school, how old do you think I felt?
Come here, how do you go about securing the tickets, Dennis? Because I presume there's a huge demand, but you've managed to do it eight times now.
They get released in waves, Greg. So yep. Normally, you know, the normal thing is whoever wins Saturday night, they'll announce, you know, within a month's time what cities are going to bid for it. If Sweden were to win, Malmo's already put themselves out of the running, so most likely to go to the capital. Then a wave of tickets come out in the November, and then another wave in the January, and then the last flurry. Once the stage is built then and they know what the capacity is, they'll release the last wave of tickets. But, you know, sometimes you have to sell a kidney to get a ticket for the final.
Yes, you're down to no kidneys, I'd say, at this stage. And, Dennis, what do we do to get through or potentially win this? Listen, we've gone full Eurovision. I think we did full Eurovision last night. I don't think there's much more
we
could do.
Totally.
A great song, stage, catchy. There was a dance. It had everything. We've tried sort of the comedy stuff. We've done the goth thing. Is it a case of just banging in ballads for the next 4 or 5, 6 years, really strong ballads, and just saying, look, this is our thing?
Totally, Greg. I think we need to bring the house down and go back to reset and go back to the big, powerful ballads that got us the wins in the 90s.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I'll let you get back to your margarita. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Take care. That's Dennis Sweeney, who is out at the Eurovision and having a fantastic time. The weather looks unbelievable there. Why is Australia in a Eurovision Song Contest? Well, it's a song contest. It's not that prescribed. There's countries that are outside of Europe that have always been in it. Greg, Ireland's Eurovision song was complete rubbish. Let's be honest, it wasn't even worth of an entry, in my opinion. And I love your opinion, and it's right. But, like, I don't like the song, but it's catchy. It's an earworm. Like, when I say I don't like it, sorry, it's not going to be in my playlist. But it's catchy. It's an earworm. It's camp. It's fun. It's quirky. And, you know, that is full Eurovision. Now, whether we like it or not, we're entering a competition and you sort of see what wins and what does well. I think we have to go back and stick for 4 or 5 years to power ballads. You know, big, big songs, because they do well, and that's what we do best, I think. Greg, Ireland didn't get through. Yeah, I agree. Hi, Greg. The Eurovision has changed a lot since the time of Johnny Logan. Hold me now. The acts that are on it now wouldn't have had a look in back in the day, when I think the acts that are in it now are pure crap, every one of them, including Ireland. I mean, but there's some, like, there's some crap. I don't think Ireland's in there, to be honest with you. I think Ireland was a good Eurovision song. Gary, is it that time of year again?
Reg and Greg.
Huh?
Don't start.
Bum 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 bum. What went wrong, Gary?
Just think, Greg, to be honest, people aren't simply, they're not voting. People aren't left the phones to vote. You know, I was so sure it would get through.
Yeah, and even the bookies, and I hate to give them any platform, but even the bookmakers, who very rarely get these type of things wrong, even they were of the view that Ireland were odds on to get through, but people didn't vote. Why not?
Exactly. I just don't know. It's a strange one because, I mean, I have nephews and nieces, and they were saying, like, it's really catchy and it should go through. And I mean, their performance even her vocals and the staging of it, everything was, I thought anyway, was spot on.
Yeah, I think so too.
But for some reason, they think out of 16 songs and there's 10 goes through and one of them wasn't Ireland. And I mean, that on the night, I think it was one of the best performances.
Mm.
And I just found there was a few of them too, Greg, and I just found the minute they come on, I was like, boring, next please.
Yeah. There are some cultural differences, of course, so things are going to sound strange to our ear. But still, let's have a little sample of this. Look. Everyone's clapping, Gary.
I know. Her vocals.
And that's live. She looks fantastic as well. And the whole stage looks great.
It was, and the guys in the spacesuits and the screens there at the rear and them like doing the summer dance that they were doing on stage.
Are you going to watch Saturday? I'm kind of sickened. I probably will. No, well, I can't. I actually have something on Saturday night. It depends whether I watch it or not. Depends on what's happening. If it was raining and stuff, perhaps more. But has this made you less inclined to watch Saturday night, or will you pull yourself together and watch?
Well, I'll have to pull myself together and maybe I'll have to have a wee beverage or something.
Okay,
I'm at Dunlow. I'm working in Dunlow on Saturday, so hopefully I'll be back for 8 o'clock. But watch it every year. But I mean, last year it was really interesting because Ireland were there with Bambi Thug, and made it more interesting. But I mean, with Ireland not being on it on Saturday, it's not the same. You know,
no,
I'll watch it, but it's not the just, same.
And who you is your? I didn't. I tell you, it was a mixture of things, right? I didn't get to watch it because the darts was on, and I had this sort of this crisis in me. Do I man it up and watch the darts? Right? You know, feel really, or do I watch the? I actually did both. I did both. So I missed Ireland. I switched. I'll tell you exactly what happened, Gary. All jokes aside. By the time I got back to the house, I switched over and Ireland had just performed. So I says what I'll do is I'll watch the darts, right? And then I will come back for the voting and sort of, you know, watch a review of the acts. And that's exactly what I did. And I still think they were great.
Yeah.
But there were other surprises as well. There were other acts that didn't get through that should have gotten through. But who's your favourite now, Gary?
Probably, there's a song actually, it's catching me here, and it's The Netherlands.
Right.
And obviously with the bookies, they have, Sweden has, with the bookies, it's Sweden. But there's, I think that Austria song's worth watching.
Okay. Right. Brilliant.
The guy with the real, he's like a really operatic voice.
Uh-huh. There was a lot of, there was actually, it was
watching.
Interesting last night. There was a lot of sort of, what's that Boone guy called? Benson Boone. There was a lot of sort of moustache.
Yeah,
there was a lot of moustaches and mullets going on too. Which I thought was quite interesting. All right, Gary, enjoy.
Yeah,
exactly. Enjoy Saturday, Gary. Thanks very much indeed. Adele, good morning to you.
Hello.
Are you disappointed?
Of course, because I thought it was a really good song.
Me too.
But, I actually work nights, and I know I saw on Facebook during the night, because I have like Eurovision things on Facebook, that she came 10th in the public, or sorry, 6th in the public vote.
Right.
But it's the jury vote that she lost out on, because I think Australia came 4th in the public vote, and they didn't get through either.
So it's not all phone calls. There is
it's
still
not all public votes. There's a jury vote as well. You see, and now I did try to look at it later on, but I couldn't see it. But so that's if it was only public vote, I got through. But I don't know if you remember 2 years ago when Sweden won it. And the Cha-Cha-Cha was the Finland song.
Mm-hmm.
They were voted by the public.
Yes.
And the public loved it. And actually, that it was it when I was in Liverpool that night, the crowd in the audience were calling Cha-Cha-Cha.
Yeah, I remember.
Because they wanted that to win. But it was the Swedish one, and that's because of the jury vote.
Which obviously is going to be politically skewed, whether we like it or not, right?
Well, you know, these are the people that know everything, but we're the public that are voting.
Well, it should be down to us, shouldn't it?
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of like they're taking part of it out of our hands.
What do we do to sort of feature again? We can't start doing the Bambi Thug thing every year. Would you be of the view that I'm of that we need to go big, strong ballad for a few years and just see how that works?
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If the song is good enough, because it can be a pop song, it can be like Lordy. I still love Hard Rock Hallelujah, you know. Like that year, I was telling everybody, I said, that's going to win, end of story, you know. But they're just, if it's the right song.
Better pop song than...
It doesn't matter whether it's a ballad or a techno song or whatever.
Yeah, but can we do a better pop song like A Party, though? I don't think we can.
I don't know.
It's a cracking Eurovision pop song.
Yes. Yeah. I still don't. I don't know. I don't know. It can be on the night, on the year. Mm. It just depends. Mm. But you know, you get a good song. I know my mom told me that when ABBA won it, that it was the first time there was ever a song like that. Before that, it was all these nice ballady songs. And then ABBA, Come On, were completely different. Now, ABBA, Come On, the year before, and they got nowhere. I think it was 74 they won with Waterloo, but they got nowhere the year before.
All right, are you still going to watch Saturday Night?
I will, because I love it so much. I went to Liverpool 2 years ago.
Lovely.
I have a sister living there, and there was a whole gang of us went over just for the atmosphere with no tickets to get in or anything like that, and then watch it that night in my sister's house with a whole party watching it. It was absolutely fantastic. Liverpool did brilliant.
Yeah.
I've never been to anywhere with it before, but I have always loved it.
And what are you going to just sit and watch it, or a little party, or maybe a glass of Prosecco and some nibbles?
Well, I'll just sit and watch it on my own, and my husband will go off because he hates it.
He should sit. Listen, it's 3 hours. He should sit there and grin and bear it, Adele. And you working nights all week.
It's grand.
I hope I don't bump into him now. Right. I'm going to get a hiding. Adele, listen, enjoy.
No, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for your time. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Adele. I don't even look at Eurovision since Dustin the Turkey was entered. I thought that Dustin was a joke against Bertie Ahern. This was only funny in D4, not to the rest of us around the country. How can we take Ireland seriously after that escapade? But we're so far removed from that now, aren't we? We went nowhere last night because we're too vocal about Israel. It's possible, because the last time there was a lot of controversy about Israel, they won the blooming thing. All right, okay. Let's stay on, ironically, an upward note. And you wouldn't think that we were talking about Doe Famine Village so soon removed from the fire that devastated much of it. And we're kind of sort of speaking in the positive, and I think it's really good. Pat Doherty is the owner of Doe Famine Village. And Pat, before we talk about what's to come, how are you now? Last time I spoke to you, obviously, listen, the smoke had barely extinguished. The damage was still smouldering, and obviously it felt pretty hopeless and helpless at that time. How are you feeling now, Pat, with all that's happened in between this fire and now?
A bit of a different world now at the minute. Now, took a while to get over the shock of it.
Yeah.
And it took a while. And then maybe what turned things, made me think different was, the drowning of the two lads and Bunkrana, so that made you think that wee bit different, how things could have been completely different.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, the community has come in and put so big an effort into it that we have to try and get it going again now.
And with that in mind, it will open, the village, the centre is going to open its doors to the public again from Wednesday, May 21st. Talk to me about that.
So the village is, or the visitor centre is in two sections. And one of the sections is the 1900s, where we lived ourselves up until 1984. So that tells the story of how we lived, how the people of Inishowen lived, and how they farmed, how they fished, how they caught rabbits, things like that there, and what they'd have eaten. And then it tells about the poaching and the Irish wake. And part of it tells about the start of the famine and Christianity in Ireland, from the start. So then the second section, which is away from that, is the part that's all burned. and you had to go through a tunnel to get from one area to another, and that's the second part is the part is burned. So that'll not be there for a while. So that's like the Orange Hall, the evictions, the safe house, the travelling community.
Pat, when I spoke to you, you know, this was a life's work, or much of a life's work, building this up bit by bit. And it would have been very hard in the aftermath of that fire to see a path back. Can you see the path back now? I just wonder, now that we're a week or so removed from that awful fire.
I had, when it happened, I'd given up on it. I says no, because we're getting older and we're at it now for 27 years building that place, and every year there was a piece added onto it, and we're getting older, so I'd kind of given up on it. And but now, because of what people have done,
well, people weren't prepared to give up on you, Pat. That's the problem. No. You might have been prepared to give up, but unfortunately, we're not prepared to give up on you.
Because of that, then, and buses have been talking to us now, and they told us that if we're not open now, they'll move on to another part of the county or down to Northern Ireland. So some of the buses will stay overnight. They'll have to come here. No, they'll stay. Maybe we'll get them in the morning, and they'll be moved on into another part of the country, because we get French buses on here. They come in here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Their next stop is Slieve League, and the next stop is Donegal Town for that there night. So they do a massive area in a day, a bus tour.
And I know, and this sounds like a reach, okay? And I'm not saying it's an attraction, but in a way, you know, what happened there is kind of reflective of history in a way. You know, we saw recently the fire in West Donegal, where the church was destroyed. And, you know, and over time, that's happened twice at that church. And over time, you know, things get destroyed and then we rebuild, or we rebuild back. And it is a historic village, the famine village. And I suppose in a way, whilst it's not intended and it's not an attraction, it is kind of reflective of life and what can happen.
I definitely so. And people before us more likely struggle too. And, and they fight back, but as the community, it really pulls this one together.
Yeah,
you know, it's not to do with me; it's the community. And we'd a massive heap of contractors wanting to come in and clear it up, and then there were so many of them in it. And then we had a company called Dewey Brothers, and they came in and did the organisation of it, and got another few contractors, and they cleared it off in one day. Which usually would. To look at what it took maybe a week or 2 weeks.
Right, Pat. Well, listen, the trauma and the loss has not been scrubbed, but it's nice to be speaking to you, and we're looking forward again, and it's opening again on Wednesday 21st. Guided tours will run daily starting at 2:30 a.m, the final tour at 4 p.m, and I'm sure people will flood there to support you and the family, Pat, and thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks so much, Craig, and thanks for everything.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye, Pat.
Right.